Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Circle podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me now is Lita. How you doing, Lita?
You know, I believe that honesty is the best policy, and I have something to share with you. These are not my real ears. I don't really have cat ears growing out of my head. I have normal person-shaped ears. I know, I came into this because I didn't think that people would accept me, but now I know that I can truly be who I am.
Lita, I wish you had just felt comfortable being yourself with me.
I know, it would have changed everything, but people are so mean.
You know, online. It really takes a lot of bravery to be genuine and yourself, so.
Thank you. I do know that. I'm very brave. I'm a hero.
Really, what I'm saying, though, is that you weren't brave earlier.
That's true. Lying. I was cowardly, but now I'm brave. Isn't that even braver?
Even braver.
Yeah, I'm putting my mask back on.
Okay, well, we are here to talk about episode 10 of The Circle US on Netflix here. And we are going to see another blocking, unsurprisingly. Still got a lot of people in this game. We're going to get rid of another person and we're going to play a game. And overall, I think this was a pretty good episode.
Yeah, solid episode. I didn't think the game was very fun.
I think it was better than some other games. You know, there were at least a couple of, you know, call outs going on.
I guess I didn't find it like enjoyable to watch. It was too predicated on who went first.
That's true. The fact that they got to like respond to be like, well, you're my rival because you just said I was your rival.
Right. If you went second and you were already picked, then you had an easy out.
Yeah. All right. But before we get to the game, we started with a conversation between Chris and Sammy. And right away, he's going to call her his day one, which I had no idea about.
I mean, technically, they are day ones.
That's true.
They did meet on day one.
But I'm pretty sure Mercedes was his girl first.
Yes, 100%. But Sammy is not totally, oblivious to the fact that, I'm his day one now. She doesn't explicitly say it, but later we are going to see that she's a little suspicious of this timing with Chris.
Yes, correctly so, I think. Well, to a degree. I think that's just Chris. I feel like he just likes to speak this way, like a little bit over the top, but he actually means it. It's not, I don't think it's meant to be deceptive.
I mean, we do know he means it because he ranks her very highly.
Yeah.
But it's not raw. I don't think that Sammy's instincts are wrong to be suspicious about this.
Yes. Chris points out that, Bill read the shit out of everyone. Hashtag fake gate.
Fake gate. Yeah. I mean, as much as I can remember anything that Bill has ever said, he's like just a wipe away whiteboard in my brain.
Yes. He was there for like two conversations.
Yeah. And then like, even when he tries to do something that blows everything up, I'm like, I can't even remember what your face looks like.
Yeah. Well, it just picture Adam and his face, but not
which
Alex.
Is already hard because Adam is not Adam. And this is, I think, the first time in a while, at least, we see Chris being pretty overtly bitchy. Which is another, I mean, Chris is usually like shady, but he's shady with a lot of love. This did not seem to come from a place of love the way that he's talking about Rebecca.
Mm-hmm. Sammy did say she gets it from Bill's perspective, that if she came into this house late and saw everybody being lovey-dovey, she would also probably respond in the same way, which I thought was a good amount of self-awareness from Sammy, because I think that's absolutely how she would have responded.
Yeah, and that's definitely true that if you come into this game and everybody like just seemingly loves each other, like that's obviously going to feel like it's not really the case. They're just trying to shut out the new person, except that in this case, everybody in this house really does love each other, or at least like, I don't know, to a greater extent than I would have expected. This is my first season ever watching The Circle, and people seem to genuinely like each other a lot more than I would have expected.
Yeah. So it would be like a horror house. So they said, look, and they said we warned Rebecca, but she's too naive, which, you know, I talked about this in the previous episode as well, that Sean talked about how she felt like the Rebecca and Adam relationship was too perfect, which tells me that this was like a very public sort of like thing. Like they were probably being lovey-dovey to each other in their statuses and like in public like group chats and stuff. And apparently another thing that happened was that they had been warning Rebecca about like, you know, like, hey, watch out. And I know that we saw that one interaction where she said that Adam flirted with her, but this to me points out that like this was probably more than just that one conversation. She said we warned her, like a bunch of people probably went and talked to Rebecca like, are you sure about this? Which of course Rebecca doesn't heed because it's all fake.
Right. Yeah, of course. And I think that like the fact, I think it says a lot when Ed is aware of something that's going on, because he's so new and he is also aware of this Rebecca and Adam relationship.
Well, I just talked to David Bloomberg about this, that I feel like in some ways, because Ed is new to the dynamic, it gives him a sort of a more honest perspective on the people that he's seeing, because he doesn't have all of the context for it. So like when Rebecca is acting really strange, like way over the top, it stands out more to somebody like Ed, who doesn't have the context of like all of the explanations that Rebecca has given, like I'm the shy twin and all of the buildup and relationship that have, I think, made it seem a little more understandable why she's acting the way she does. So I think in some ways having that outside perspective is honestly usually a little more sort of accurate as to what's actually happening.
That is true to an extent, although I wonder how much Ed is wrong about that they're not showing. Like, it's very convenient for them to show them that. But I do think that there's also the distinct possibility for, like, Ed came in, he saw one suspicious thing about this and then really latched onto it.
Yeah. And he, for all we know, he's also saying like, and Shuby, obviously fake.
Yeah.
Joey, fake as hell.
Well, I think he probably thinks everybody's fake except Joey, because Joey is his kindred spirit.
Yes. But Chris says he feels no sympathy for Rebecca, that, like, I don't get it. Why is she acting this way? And this is exactly what I was concerned about in the previous episode. As soon as Seaburn said, I want to play this up to get sympathy, I was like, he's going to way over dramatize this. And it does. At the time, it felt like it wasn't rubbing anybody the wrong way except for Ed. But it appears that it actually, in fact, both Chris and Sammy were like, oh, this is strange. This is a little too much.
Yeah, Seaburn is like, guys, you know when you get dumped and your left side just starts crying so much?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's definitely true. But also, if I were Sammy, I think that this would maybe send up a little red flag for me about Chris. It doesn't for her in this scenario, not that we see. But I think the combination of Chris sort of chatting her out of the blue for the first time, which she's already a little suspicious about, and then throwing shade hard on somebody else, which Chris doesn't normally do. To me, I would read that as like, oh, Chris is nervous. He's trying to get the target on somebody else. What is Chris nervous about? Which obviously not really the case, but I thought that this was mismanaged by Chris and could have gone badly for him.
It's a very good point. And as you said, we do see that she is a bit suspicious later on. So I think that it's a good read, too. because I think there's, I don't know, there's probably something genuine there. You know, we do see that Chris ultimately rates Sammy pretty high, but who else does he have? Right. So even if he wasn't being genuine, it's not like he has some other secret ally that he would put up there anyway. Maybe he felt like his work had done well, and he had done well in the work and therefore could trust Sammy in a high position. But overall, they both seem to be questioning Rebecca to a degree. Sammy does agree that Rebecca is kind of sketching her out a bit, which is really a complete 180 from where she was in just the previous episode, where she was all about Rebecca.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what exactly is the turning point here for Rebecca being number one and now being everybody's most suspicious person?
You know, it might be something that we didn't see. It might be that sort of like sympathy thing, maybe that went on for even longer than we saw and was like just even more over the top and ridiculous. And I think also just the fact in general that if Rebecca has been playing up like how in love she is with Adam and like that her heart is full of butterflies and all of this stuff, and then blocks Adam and then is heartbroken when he turns out to be a catfish, and I'm just broken. I just don't know how I can go on. Like, it just feels something about that just feels off. Like, the person that is that naive and that sweet is not the person that chooses to block Adam over Sean.
Yeah, that's true. And it was, she was up there with Shoebomb, right?
Yeah.
So who nobody
wanted Adam to stay.
Right. And nobody would think that even if like he didn't, even if Shuby did want Adam gone, like nobody would think that Shuby would override what Rebecca wants. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because Shuby is so devoted to her that she can't even put any of the blame on Shuby.
Yeah. And if Shuby had a conversation with either Sammy or Chris about like, yeah, I basically left it in her hands that, I thought she was going to keep Adam. I don't know why she didn't, essentially. You would think that Chris and Sammy would maybe understand to a degree because Sean, revealed that she was her true self to Rebecca. And maybe that's why, but I think that explanation just doesn't work well enough when Rebecca is so over the top about her feelings for Adam.
Yeah, I think what she needs to do there is like play up her, not her rejection that he's like gone or whatever, but more just like disappointment, and then like try to claim that she realized earlier that he was a catfish and that's why she blocked him.
Absolutely. Like, you know, I just, something felt off. Sammy, you know, you had told me that some of you had warned me and you know, it turns out it was, and it sucks, but it is what it is, you know. What can I do? That just feels more real. But Seaburn is just in like a fantasy land.
I love that when Seaburn talks to the Circle, he puts on a different voice. I don't know if you've talked about this before, but like when he is just talking to us, he's very like his own bubbly self, and then he'll say, "Message, Circle, I just feel so devastated. Send message." Like, it's very like he puts on an entire character, which nobody else really does. Like, Mercedes didn't do that, Adam, Alex didn't do that. He's really a lot more in the fantasy, and I think that's why it's working. And also that he has a real person to play off of. I think it's going better for him than another catfish because he's not building a personality from scratch. He's saying, what would this person that I know intimately do?
Yeah. I talked a little bit in the previous episode about how his explanation to Adam about like the flirting, he's like, "I'm flirting like Rebecca would flirt." I was like, maybe this is why it's so over the top, because he's been theoretically in like a long-term relationship with Rebecca. He's pretty young. Maybe he hasn't had many relationships. And so if they're in a long-term relationship, how Rebecca flirts with them is probably pretty lovey-dovey. And so this is just like his only knowledge of like how Rebecca might flirt, which is sort of like, it kind of clicked for me, like, oh, maybe that's why it's so dramatically over the top.
Well, same with Adam Alex.
Right.
Like, if you don't know how to flirt, I think that you're more concerned about underselling it and people not picking up what you're putting down. But it's like, the circle is all sliding into people's DMs. Everybody's lonely. Like, if you flirt even a tiny bit, people are going to pick up on it.
Mm-hmm. So we're also going to get a conversation between Joey and Sean. He wants to check in with her. She's now has revealed who she truly is. And he wants to get a sense of how she's feeling and ask her questions about all of that. She explains that she feels like somebody like him wouldn't want to have fun with somebody like her that looks like her without the picture of somebody else. And Joey's like, oh, man, that's so sad. You matter. We had a connection, the two of us. It doesn't matter what the picture was. I've got your back in this game. And he even throws in a little winky face. She's like, ooh, a winky face.
Even before the wink, I read this as a little bit of flirting on Sean's part. I would not say to someone that I didn't find attractive, like, you know, regardless that she has a boyfriend, I'm not saying it's genuine flirting, but I wouldn't think that you'd want to have fun with me.
Yes.
That seems like a very specific kind of message.
Yeah. And I was curious because it kind of puts Joey on the spot a little bit, even are you still going to flirt with me? Like, if not, then it proves me right.
Yeah, exactly.
Joey has no qualms about flirting with anybody. Joey is down to flirt with anyone.
Oh, poor Miranda. Just kidding. I don't care.
He says he has her back, that he will fight, send any internet trolls his way. He's got them.
Yeah, sure. How very chivalrous. I don't know. She loves it. So this is the right thing to say. Yeah. This would do nothing for me, but she loves it. So I guess good for Joey.
You mean all those times I've told you to send all your internet trolls to me? You've been like, God.
No, I amazingly don't find that to be incredibly chivalrous or necessary.
Man,
I'm sure you would love it if I tagged you in all of the negative tweets to me. And then you have to respond to them because you said you would.
Oh, God. You know, I was realizing, because there have been people like, oh, Darren, you should try out for the circle. But I think I'm realizing that, like, I don't think I'd be good on the circle.
How so?
I don't think I'm good at social media. I mean, I've always known that, but like, I kind of didn't connect that to the circle. But just like having to communicate via text is never something that I've enjoyed. I just like talking to somebody, like, in not necessarily in person, but like voice to voice at the very least. I hate having to type out my thoughts.
Yeah, you're not good at conveying tone or sticking to a word limit. I think those are mutually exclusive for you. You would need like way more time and paragraph on the circle.
It's just, I don't think it's for me. I think I'd be bad at this game.
This is one of the only games I've ever seen that I think I would be good at.
Well, there you go.
The flirting does make me deeply uncomfortable, but I think I would be like Sammy, where I would be like, ew, 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 and then like respond flirting back.
They're going to play a game within the game. And this is
a game in quotes.
Yes. This game is called State Your Case, where it's revealed now there are no more new players. One of you is going to be the winner of the circle. And so with that in mind, you must state your case for why you should win over your biggest rival in the game. And so they have to go one by one, choosing their biggest rival and saying why they should win over that person. So first up was Sean, who says that her biggest rival is Sammy because she's gorgeous and has had more time to bond with people. She deserves to win over Sammy because she hasn't taken the risks that Sean has. This was a bit of a risk that I don't think paid off. I don't know if this was the right thing to say.
The thing about the risk is that arguably Sean has taken the biggest risk of anybody in the circle. I think that's very fair to say, but she could have said this about anybody, and she should have not said it to one of the original people that she quote unquote came out to, because those are the people that I think like her the most.
Exactly. And like, most importantly, she doesn't know what Sammy had done prior to entering
the
house. So like if you say somebody like Ed, you know everything Ed has done. You know what risks he has taken and hasn't taken. It's easy to say that he hasn't taken those risks because you know. And in addition to that, what you said as well, where you took the risk with Sammy and Sammy welcomed you with open arms. So to then kind of turn around and be like, so therefore I deserve it more because I took a risk, and to be the, like, to say that to the person that helped make the risk not turn against you, right?
Yeah,
is kind of like a little feisty.
And I do think that what she was trying to do was to go after somebody that she thinks has a really good chance of winning. But you have a perfectly easy person to do that with in Shuby. Right there, who has had more power than Sammy, is one of those original people, and you don't have the personal relationship with that you have with any of the other OGs, because she had that private chat with the girls and Chris, the girls, you know, she has now also independently bonded with Joey. So I think it would have been smartest for her to just do Ed and do the safe choice. But if she really wanted to go after a target, Shuby's right there.
Yes, it's not a popular sentiment, and Sammy replies that it's unfair to write her story for her, that she doesn't know what she's been through, because she wasn't even there for it.
Yeah, I mean, we also don't know what Sammy's been through. We don't really know anything about Sammy's personal life.
Well, yeah, personal life. In the game, though, even in the context of the game.
Have people really been through things in the game?
Well, Sean went through having to... Yeah, but
Sean's the only person that had any sort of like traumatic experience. I mean, Rebecca's had a fake one, but
I mean, I think
traumatic use very generally.
If you genuinely start to make a relationship and they turn out to be playing you, or like especially in Sammy's case, where I feel like she just has this really like tough exterior and she doesn't like to let people in. If she felt like she had opened up, like that's. Like, I think when she opened up about her aunt, I feel like that was really hard for her. So she probably feels like that was, you know, a risk that she took in her own way. But you know, either way, it's to not go down well. But Chris is enjoying it. He says, this is better than a soap opera.
High bar. Sure. This also didn't go over well for me as the number one Sammy stan.
Yeah. Well, Sammy is going to reply that her biggest rival is Sean. Because of that message.
And yeah, I wonder what she was going to say. Probably Ed.
Yeah. She says, I deserve to win over Sean because I came in as myself, whereas Sean came in as somebody else.
That was dirty.
Shuby, of course, is like, yes, I agree.
Yeah. Because
Shuby hates catfish.
Yeah, whatever. But I felt that was very harsh from Sammy.
Yeah, Sean says it's BS, but she writes, no hard feelings.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I do want to know who Sammy was going to say. I really hope that she would have said Adam Alex because he used the word arouse.
Well, but he wasn't there anymore.
Oh, I watched the first two episodes. I can guarantee this is spoiler free because I haven't seen any episodes after this one. Mm-hmm. I watched the first two episodes in one sitting, so I got confused. Apologies.
No worries. Shuby says his biggest rival is Joey because he has also played honest and upfront and loyal. But he deserves to win over Joey because he's had to be influencer more often than Joey has. And Joey's like, that's true. What can I say? I can't argue against that.
Yeah, I don't know why Sean didn't just say, like, I deserved, like, all the nice things about Sammy and then just say, like, I deserve to win because I was at a bigger disadvantage and still integrated myself. Like, you can just say things that are nice and true.
Yes.
Exactly. about your rival.
That's exactly what I was saying about Bill in the previous podcast, though, because Bill was like, oh, I'm only out because everyone else is fake and I'm too genuine. I'm too real. Like then why isn't your real... nicer is my is my rebuttal to that.
Yeah, you know what, Bill seems perfectly nice to me. I'm not surprised that he didn't make an impression on other people. It's the same thing with Miranda. I'm sure Miranda is like perfectly nice, but I can't think of another word to describe either of them besides nice, which is a bad sign for reality TV and even just making connections in real life or over social media if you're not memorable. However, I did tweet that I would like to introduce Bill to my single friends because he does seem very nice.
Well, there you go. Sean was not super fond of this argument from Shuby. She says, oh, humble brag. influencer four times. Okay.
I mean, what else is he supposed to say? It's true.
Yeah, Joey replies with, I love you. I would be so happy if you won. Shubi loves the response. Everything's all good there. Rebecca says that her biggest rival is Ed. He's new and he could become a factor in the game. And she doesn't know what drives him. So she deserves to win over him because she's discovered her one. She's discovered her voice. Two, she's, I don't know, been they were really, I don't even understand what she was trying to get at here.
Yeah, I mean, this is a perfectly fine answer.
Yeah, I mean, it just was a little bit. Again, it's just like a little too far, I think, in the rebection in the rebection in the direction of
one rebection.
Fake Rebecca. We'll just call it rebection from now on.
But I also think that, like, it's definitely true that people, like, even if Rebecca was real, I think this is possible that on social media people really lean into the persona a lot. So I think the fact that Rebecca's sort of Rebecca-ness has intensified over time wouldn't necessarily be an indicator that she's a catfish, just because it's sort of like once people latched on to like the shy, naive thing, I'm not surprised that she went further with it, especially the week after she gets the number one spot.
It's true.
If you're like, oh, what I'm doing is working, I should just amplify that.
Yeah. Well, Ed, it wants to he's not pleased by this. Neither is his mom. But
what's Ed's mom's name?
I don't remember, to be honest. Okay. I just call her Ed's mom.
I'm gonna guess Karen. She seems like a Karen.
It seems like I wanted to say Karen, but I don't know if that's true. I think that might just be the meme thing. I talked about, she's just, what is she there for? She doesn't contribute anything. Like, she has to be ignored otherwise she'd screw up Ed's game in a major way. Right.
She's literally just like, I think we should write. And he's like, no, we're not going to write that. What does she call emojis?
Emojos.
Emojos. Yes.
I said to David Bloomberg that she is like the quintessential reality show fan that like tweets mean things at you. Like she would be the person who replies to like a podcast or sends something to you like, why did we need this podcast? I'm just confused. Yeah. Question mark, question mark, question mark. Like, okay, thanks.
And like types like an old person where there's a space between the sentence and the question mark.
Yeah.
What do you think of the Conshohocken accent?
I don't know.
Oh my God. Ed's accent. I'm so happy my cousins are from Conshohocken. And that's sort of like my ancestral land. And I'm so happy to see their crazy ass accent represented.
I gotta say, I don't even really notice it.
Listen to him talk next time. He sounds like it's like a mix of the Pittsburgh accent, which I guess you wouldn't know what that sounds like because I don't have it. But it's like a mix of that and like a Southern twang.
Because I did catch the Southernness at times, I think.
Yeah, the Philadelphia accent is absolutely wild.
Well, there you go. So Ed says, I am honored and humbled to be chosen as a rival. So that's the route that he takes there. Sammy also wasn't super fond of Rebecca's pitch here. Chris is up next. Chris says, my biggest rival is Shubi because he has been an influencer so much. He deserves to win. I deserve to win because I kept it 100 from the start and I didn't even know how to play this game when I came in.
Yeah, what is that a reference to? Did Shubi get some sort of real rule book that he didn't get?
It's strange. I feel like these people are focusing a little too much on themselves and not sort of recognizing what that is saying about the other person. Because I think Chris is saying, like, I didn't even know how to play when I came in. Like, he's focusing on his own story. I kept it 100 from the start. But by saying that in combination with I deserve to win over Shubi, he's basically saying about Shubi that Shubi has not kept it 100 from the start and that Shubi came in playing the game hard. And I don't think he intended to say that about Shubi. I think he was mostly just talking about himself. But obviously, that's how it comes off to Shubi. He's feeling like, what? I've kept it 100? That's
the worst thing you can say about Shubi because he hates people that don't keep it 100.
Yeah. And Shuby's like, I didn't know how to play the game either, and I've kept it 100. Well, that's how I feel.
Yeah, and Chris had the most time to think about it too, and still couldn't come up with a reasonable thing to say.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe like Shuby's watched a ton of UK Circle or something. Chris hasn't.
Maybe. Ed says his biggest rival is Rebecca because he can see that she's popular, and this makes sense because Ed came in and the first person he saw that got influencer, that got top spot, was Rebecca. So he obviously kind of feels like she's probably an institution here, even though he doesn't probably realize that she's been in third a bunch of times. But he can see that she's popular. He deserves to win over her, though, because he's a straight shooter, which may not be the case with Rebecca. And Seaburn's like, dude, really?
How dare you? That's my sister. my literal sister.
Yes, Shuby's not pleased. And Chris and Sammy are both like, oh,
yeah,
somebody sees what we see.
Yeah, if you're Ed, you are the only one here with all of the reasons in the world to stir the pot and take a shot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody else is in so good with each other, even Sean at this point, that there's no reason to, like, you know, upset the apple cart. But because for all they know, as long as you're not last, you're good. So for Sean, it's like, well, for this week, I'm good as long as one person is below me, which is going to be Ed because he's newer and he's a little more controversial. Ed is the only one who has any reason to try to get people to turn against each other.
Yes. And this was the correct thing to do. Ed seems to be somebody who, you know, despite everything, seems to have his head in the game and sort of understand mm-hmm. what he may or may not need to do here. And so putting himself against Rebecca when Rebecca seems like a threat, it's probably a good move, and it does seem to pay off to a degree, as, you know, we see that there are other people who feel kind of similar and probably wouldn't mind somebody like Ed in the game to make sure that Rebecca stays under control. So Rebecca says, hey, I'm 100 and you're new to this game. So how do we even know that you're real? And Ed's like, that's exactly what a catfish would say.
It's so weird because Ed's like not a catfish, but he is, but his mom doesn't do anything, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's sort of like I have no idea what people are going to make of it when they figure out what's been going on with Ed.
Yeah, it's like, and Ed is Ed, but he's also had his mom there. Like, okay, so what were her messages? Well, actually, none of them.
Yeah.
It was all Ed.
But she made dinner.
She did make dinner, and she put her glass next to his one time. That was pretty annoying.
Yeah. Is this the I haven't watched any UK Circle. I know somebody brought a cat. Has anybody done this before where they've tag teamed with somebody?
So there was one person who brought their baby with them.
Gross.
But I don't think the baby contributed too much. And there was another case where two relative strangers were put into the game to both collectively play as a separate catfish account.
Okay, that's more interesting.
Yes, I agree. So Rebecca says, though Seaburn says, I feel comfortable with the bonds that I have. I don't think this is going to be too big of a deal, until Joey comes out and says, my biggest rival is Rebecca because she's because I'm here to be myself, and we share because she's here to be herself, and we both share a best friend in Shuby, and I deserve to win over her because I've been 100% genuine. These people really love 100. And can the same be said about Rebecca? Hashtag shy or calculated. Uh-oh. So this is the fourth person in one episode to start being suspicious about Rebecca.
Yeah, I want to say that this is a strange play from Joey, but it works out for him. So, right. But I'm confused because he's basically guaranteeing that one of these OGs is going to rank him last.
Right.
At this point, which seems like it's a risk that he doesn't need to take.
So It seems clear that Joey is concerned that his relationship with Shubi is going to be essentially outshined by Shubi's relationship with Rebecca, that if Rebecca puts Shubi at number one and Shubi puts Rebecca at number one, then Joey is the one kind of left out in that sort of final scenario. And he doesn't have much of a relationship with Rebecca. And so it does seem like he's fishing for allies a little bit. And so, like I said, when Ed presents himself as sort of an anti-Rebecca option, then Joey says, you know what? I think that by me doing this, it will really resonate with Ed and I can really solidify that connection and basically pick up an extra ally out here that's mine. And it, you know, surprisingly, I was not really expecting this from Joey, especially in this episode and later on in this episode. He seems to be playing the game a lot more strategically than I expected from him. Even just in the last podcast, I was like, I feel like Joey is just going to be straight up genuine the whole time. But man, this episode, he really turned on the tactical thing.
Ignore. Yes, I think that he got lucky, though, because unless he had a conversation that we didn't see with Chris or Sammy that sort of expressed some of their concerns, I think that picking up that ally in Ed could have put him at the risk of losing the trust of not totally the trust, but could have lost a little bit of the loyalty that he had from those original people. I think he just either was aware that Chris and Sammy were a little suspicious, or he got lucky.
Yeah, I have to imagine that he was aware to some degree, just because like the fact that this all coalesced in one, like it felt very much like what happened to Mercedes, where all of a sudden everybody was just aware that Mercedes was a catfish and we never saw like the buildup to it. It kind of feels like that, where there was probably something left out where there was even more conversation happening about suspicions with Rebecca. But I don't know. That's just pure speculation on my part. But Shubi is in shock. Nobody's talking to Shubi about this because Shubi, what? No, that's not true.
Of course nobody's talking to Shubi about it. That would be crazy.
Yes. So Joey predicts that Rebecca is going to play this safe. And so Rebecca says, well, I'm super surprised. I've been 100% honest with you. And we both love Shubi equally. I still love you, Joey. And Joey's like, yeah, still feels calculated to me. But Shubi says, no, it's authentic and genuine.
But once you have in your head that somebody is playing you, everything is going to sound fake.
Yeah, definitely. All right. So that's the game. We're through with the game. Next up, Sammy and Sean are going to reconnect and try to clear the air after the naming each other as rivals and kind of going after each other. They don't want any more negative energy. They want to be like, yeah, hey, wait, hey, we're good. No, you know, no hard feelings. They both feel relieved. It's one of those sort of like go through the motion kind of conversations, but it seems to be very effective with both of them.
Yeah, because neither of them actually dislike each other. And right. Both of them are more worried about the other one being mad at them for this than they are about actually disliking them in the game.
Yes. And so, alert, it's rating time. Here we go. We got a little bit of sort of like motivation before we went into the ratings themselves. Sammy says, all right, time to start really thinking about this. I want to keep the people who are going to place me at the top, push me to the top. Sean says, time to get tactical. Joey says, don't overthink it. Just be, you know, just go for it, which I thought it meant like just do what he feels, but then he gets very tactical with it. Shubi says, just stay loyal. Just be true to the people that I'm true to and hope that they are the same, which is kind of an easy thing for Shubi to say, given he's been at the top for so long. So it's interesting to see the different perspectives on this rating. But this ranking in particular is the first time we're really going to see some tactical rankings really being implemented in how people vote here.
I do think for Shubi, he's actually in a little bit of a tough position where he has less of an idea of where other people stand on him than other people do about where he stands on that, because he's saved all of them who are still there multiple times, you know, except like Ed or Sean. But everybody that's been there from the beginning, he's been an influencer so many times that to them, that's like, well, Shubi has repeatedly shown his loyalty, which is why it's so much less of a double-edged sword to be an influencer here than it is to be like HOH and Big Brother, because Big Brother guaranteed somebody you nominate at some point is going to stay in the house. And so you're going to have blood in your hands. In this, it's just like you block someone and then they never talk to you again. And that's great. And everybody feels awesome about you. But because nobody really has saved Shuby or hasn't done it consistently, he's not actually sure who is going to protect him.
Yes. And that's the downside. Whereas in a show like Big Brother, HOH is bad for you during the game, typically, or at least there are bad downsides during the game. By the time you get to the end of the game, usually having won a bunch of HOHs is good for your chances with the jury. In the circle, having been influencer a bunch of times during the game actually probably lowers your chances of winning in the end, because you're not facing a jury who are, you know, sort of going over all of your, you know, sort of accomplishments in the game. It's your fellow competitors who are going to be worried that you having won influencer so many times means you're going to win the whole thing, and therefore more likely to put you lower in the rankings so you don't beat them.
See, I didn't know how this works. They haven't actually explained on the circle how a winner is chosen. So interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I mean, I knew that it would be some sort of final ranking. But yeah, I guess it didn't even occur to me that, of course, people are going to rank the biggest threats lowest. So it's possible that one of the least liked people will win, unless you're somebody who is really like, okay, this person's my ride or die. They deserve to win, so I'm going to do that. Which honestly, I think this cast might be so nice to each other and like each other so much that they might rank the people that they like the best.
That's what I was saying in the last podcast. And then I watched this episode and I was like, oh, now I don't feel great about that, because they got pretty tactical in this ranking. And this isn't even the final one. But who knows?
But once the money is real.
Yeah,
I think that will kick in more to them.
I agree. It's so tough to call. Like this episode in particular really made me start to question some of my predictions. I'm like, I don't know now. I really thought Joey would just straight go like Shuby number one, Sammy number two, like in the final rankings. But now I'm not as sure. Because what we see here is that Joey puts Ed in the third spot. He says, we were on the same page today. I feel like we can foster a good relationship. And he puts Shuby at number five.
Yeah.
He says, I hate to do this, but I'm worried that if it's Shuby and Rebecca up in the influencer spots, then I'll be the one to be sent home. I can't even look at it. I can't even look. Circle, please put Shuby at number five.
Which I do think was a misread on him. I don't think that Shuby is going to. Even if Rebecca wants to, Shuby's not going to budge on Joey.
Well, we talked about this in the last time, like that. He was convinced that Shuby and Rebecca were sending him home. He was saying in the at risk, like to himself, he was like, there's no way I am not being blocked right now. Even though they had both already completely ruled him out. Like he's really, really concerned about it.
Right. I don't know. Joey, I disagree with so many of his moves, but it's just working out for him. So it's hard to, you know, if we're being results oriented, it's hard to disagree with what he's doing.
Yeah. Rebecca puts Ed at number six. This is very unsurprising. Rebecca says Ed and Joey need to be split up because they're both in the same swimming pool.
Yeah, that classic expression.
Yeah. Ed puts Rebecca at number six, says people see that she's fake. He puts Chris at number four, says he loves him enough to keep him. Rebecca put Chris at number four. I think I put that in the wrong column. Rebecca said, I love him enough to keep him far and close at the same time.
Yeah, I guess that's what putting somebody in the middle means.
I guess so.
I am surprised. I will say I'm surprised we didn't see more of Sammy and Ed's relationship. I thought that those two would click more after having some common geographic ground.
I mean, he said she was crazy, though.
Did he?
Yeah, he was like, girls from wherever are crazy.
Well, yeah, but like he seems like somebody who would be like, that girl's crazy, you know?
I don't know if Sammy's the kind of person that loves being called crazy, though.
Maybe, but I think if it was like, I think that she can admit that she's like a party, a fun girl, you know?
Okay, that kind of crazy.
Well, that's what I thought that he meant.
Okay, well, I didn't know it because I don't know what the reputation is.
Well, of Delaware County, yeah, I think it's, there might be sort of like a white trash implication.
That's sort of what I thought it was.
I know, but I think that it could also come off as like they're just like super fun, crazy, you know, party.
Okay.
I don't know. That's how it came off to me. Or at least as like, yes, he's calling her crazy, but it's like a jokey friendly. We're from the same place. We can bash on each other's like the stereotypes, you know?
Maybe. Well, Chris puts Rebecca at number 5. He says, I just feel something is not right. And he puts Sammy at number 2. They have a great future connection ahead of them.
Great.
Yeah. But Sammy puts Chris at number 5.
Right. Yeah.
Second to last. She's worried that he's only reaching out to her to be tactical. So everything that you pointed out in that conversation, I absolutely think is coming into play here. She's just concerned about his true motivations.
Yeah.
Which is very true to Sammy's character. Again, she has had that hard exterior. It's hard to break in. And Chris hasn't really done the work yet.
Yeah, I think the person who's done the best job at getting to Sammy's heart is Joey, because he is doing it in a way that's like, hey, like, given my whole thing, my gym rat nature, all of that, like, I am also I'm a tough nut to crack. But Joey is a lot softer once you get inside than Sammy is, I think. And Joey's a little bit more willing to show himself. But I think Sammy, like, even when she's talking about her aunt a few episodes ago, she likes when people are quick and are just like, you're great, I'm sorry, and like move on. She's like, I like that they're not like dwelling on it. She doesn't like, even when you do get her to open up, she doesn't like being doted on. Yeah. And I think Joey is able to sort of connect with her on the same wavelength of like the right amount of tough and humor with that softness.
Yeah, she's
and I think Chris is too gooey for her.
Yeah, she's a little bit like that character on a show or in a book or whatever that's like really tough and like never expresses their emotions. And like when they're like, yeah, you know, I do love you. Like, hey, don't dwell on it, though. Come on, yeah, don't hug me. That's gross.
Yeah. I mean, I think she's actually pretty good at showing love for other people. I just don't think she loves receive her love language is not words of affirmation. She's not she wants to receive, I think, love and care through like authentic expression and connection and common bonds, not through like, my god, girl, I love you, you're so beautiful. Like, she's good at saying that to other people, and I do believe she means it. It's just not how she prefers to receive affirmation.
Very good point. She ends up putting Sean at number 1.
Yeah,
she feels solidified with her. So this really turned around very quickly for Sean and Sammy. And Sammy definitely, again, here, getting a bit tactical, putting Chris lower, putting Sean at number 1, anticipating that Sean might be able to either keep her safe or probably more realistically just won't be an influencer anyway, and therefore ups her own chances of becoming an influencer. Mm-hmm. So Sean ends up putting Sammy at number 2 because they had a good connection, and Joey at number 1 because she loves that he said he would fight her trolls for her. And she's going to regret that decision.
Yes, she is.
I think he's the only person that would have blocked Sean.
Do you really think so?
I think so. I think even Shuby would have gone Ed.
Maybe.
Because Ed was going after Rebecca hardcore.
Oh, that's true. Because I was going to say, I don't know how much we know about Shuby's relationship with Ed. I feel like Shuby would appreciate that Ed keeps it real. But yeah, you're right. He does want to protect Rebecca. Yeah, that's possible. But that is the thing about being a super influencer, is that it's always going to be somebody that everybody thinks they're safe with.
Yes. Yeah.
So somebody's going to get burned just by the nature of it.
Yeah, definitely. And so Shuby puts Sean at number 5. I imagine he put Ed at number 6. He says that Sean is a mystery box. They don't have a real connection, so he doesn't know.
because he's the only OG that wasn't in that original conversation with her, and then goes up with Rebecca, and Rebecca's like, I have no cons about Sean. She's an incredible person. And she was like, what?
Yeah. And he puts Joey at number two. Joey's his best friend in the house. He's showing his loyalty, putting Joey at number two. I imagine Rebecca was number one. And I gotta say, again, like I said, I was pretty surprised by some of the choices here. And I do wonder how that's going to carry into the final rating. I talked about, I felt like it was narrowed down for me to Shubi, Joey, and Sammy, but I'm not even 100% sure that all the OGs are going to make it to the final five at this point. I think that somebody like Ed might actually sneak in if these tactical rankings continue. And even if it doesn't, I'm even less sure about Shubi's chances now. If even, because I was really banking on Joey putting Shubi at number one for sure. I don't feel that way anymore. If Joey yeah. doesn't put Shubi at number one, then I don't think Shubi has as much of a chance, which would theoretically increase Joey's chances. I think it would also increase Sammy's chances. I think Sammy has a much better chance than I was thinking prior to this. So right now it could be between Joey and Sammy, but I think there's still so much left to be played. And it's so much up in the air in terms of like who's going to vote emotionally, who's going to vote tactically. I feel lost.
Yeah, I would be very surprised to see Ed not make it to the final just because he's like a goat. Like mm-hmm. he's somebody that people don't think are going to win. And B, I think people want to keep somebody that will at least this. So there's going to be what, one more elimination before?
I think so. There's six final? People. There was a final five in the UK season two. So I expect there to be a final five here. So,
okay. So this might not be relevant, but if they think that there's going to be a couple more eliminations, then a case for keeping Ed, which is also a case for keeping him in this round, is that he could take a shot that they don't want to take.
Yeah.
Like he could be the one to take out somebody like Rebecca that people don't necessarily trust or want to see in the finals, but nobody is willing to make that play because it's too risky.
Yeah. And like somebody like Joey might want to keep Ed around instead of somebody else that might not put him higher. I think that would be a mistake for Joey, though, because even though Ed likes Joey, I think Ed is 100% a tactical voter in the finals, and Joey having just been super influencer, two rounds before or whatever it is, he'll probably feel a little too threatened by Joey and put him pretty low, even though he likes him. I don't think Ed is a reliable person to bring into the finals just because you think that he's an ally. You don't know him well enough to know that. So the ratings results are in, but they won't be published. And this is also important because, first of all, the super influencer, we'll talk. So the most popular player will become super influencer. They alone will decide who to block. And they can, if they want to, do it anonymously. The ratings results will never be published. And so that means that you can basically eliminate someone without getting any blood on your hands. And it's a great opportunity to take out a big threat in the game if that's what you want. Also, because the ratings results are not published, somebody that came in second place or otherwise highly ranked is not going to be exposed for being that threatening. And I think Sammy was second. Because when I was looking at this, Sammy number two from Sean, Sammy number two from Chris, nobody's putting Sammy low. I felt like super influencer is going to be between Joey or Sammy. Joey ended up taking it. I feel like Sammy was probably second, especially with Shubi getting a fifth place from Joey. And the fact that it wasn't revealed that she was in second is great for her for now. But if she's revealed to be an influencer in the last round prior to the finals, that could be what causes her to be considered too much of a threat. But the fact that she wasn't revealed in this round is probably a very good thing for her.
I will make a case that it's possible that Chris was second. Just by virtue of him being somebody that Ed seems to have no problem with, I imagine he could have been Ed's third. I don't think he was below. I think the lowest was probably four.
Well, Sammy put Chris at five and Rebecca put Chris at four.
Oh, Sammy put him at five. I thought she put him at four. But because he was Sean's number one, I thought that it was possible that Chris.
Well, Sean put Joey at number one.
What? Okay. Well,
and
then
Sammy
never mind.
At number two.
I'm confused. Sean put Chris number one last time and loves Chris. So never mind. I felt good that Joey was going to get the super influencer. I thought it would be between Chris and Sammy for a second.
Well, there you go. It is Joey. Ed's mom is like, oh, I want to be super influencer. I want that.
That would be a power I would like to have. Wow. Big Ooh. Player. Interesting.
I'm sorry, Ed's mom.
I'm not. You signed up to be on a TV show. We're going to talk about you.
Joey is super influencer. He is not blocking Shuby. He's not blocking Sammy. There's too much loyalty there. He says there's a part of him that does want to protect all of the OGs, but he does feel good about Ed. And he is concerned that Rebecca might be against him after that whole game situation. He also is not entirely sure where he stands with Chris. I have to say, though, my first inclination when Joey got super influencer was he's probably just going to take out Sean. I feel like that's the obvious choice. I wasn't sure whether it would be anonymous or not. So especially if it's anonymous or not anonymous, then he has to take out Sean. When it's revealed that it was anonymous and that he could have hidden the whole situation, maybe then there's a chance you might want to take out somebody like Rebecca. And maybe that would have been good for him if he was able to hide it. But then it becomes sort of like Shuby's on a warpath. Who did this? Everybody's denying it. Shuby doesn't trust anybody anymore. It really shakes a lot of makes a lot of waves. And if you feel like you're in a pretty decent position otherwise, then maybe you don't want to do that.
I mean, the reason that I felt like even if it is anonymous, that he was still going to go for Sean. I was a little worried that it was going to be Rebecca, but because we've seen a video message sort of blow someone up before, right? Like we have seen Anthony say, essentially, somebody's a catfish and it's probably the person I visited who is probably Mercedes. I don't know what the rules on video messages are, but it's possible that Sean could have said something shady about Joey.
Very true. And also, again, like, I don't know what like level Joey is thinking on, but Rebecca is not very popular with everybody but Shuby. So maybe not super threatening, unless you think that because she's not popular, she's going to end up winning in the end because everybody's going to think that she's not a threat and therefore put her higher. So there's just a lot of guesswork to happen here.
It's just so weird because she was number one last week.
Right. But ultimately, Joey has a plan. He thinks that by keeping Rebecca safe and revealing the fact that he's a super influencer, he can get Rebecca back on his side. That's his plan. And he's going to go through with it. So ultimately, he chooses to take out Sean. And it seems like the decision was made actually pretty quickly, that maybe this was not very difficult for him, because by the time it comes up on everyone's screen, they're like, oh, I'm not the super influencer.
Yeah, they didn't even realize they hadn't been chosen.
They hadn't been waiting very long.
Yeah.
And so there's another twist to this, though. The super influencer has to conduct the blocking face to face in the apartment of the person he's blocking. And so Joey has to go visit his choice. And I loved Joey's hallway walk, because he's like all sad, but also he's like doing a cool. He's like
doing a cool guy walk.
Yeah. Like, but it's a sad, cool guy walk. Like, oh, man, what am I doing, man? Oh, man, I don't know.
Being popular and manly is so hard.
Loved it.
Also, he knows that Sean's going to be so upset.
Yeah, and she was really upset.
I did feel that her, sort of playing up that it must have been because she looks the way that she does was a little put on. I don't know that she really feels that way. I think that she just wanted a little comfort from Joey.
Yeah.
And for him to assure her that it wasn't because of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this definitely felt like, like a little bit like I think some of them expected about Rebecca, where like, yeah, maybe there is some genuine hurt here. And this may be also being played up a little bit, because, when you're sad, you just want comfort for various reasons. Yeah.
And she's in the seat of power here, right? Like, she's not in the mm-hmm. game anymore. She knows how guilty he feels. I would exploit that if I wanted to make somebody feel bad and make me feel better. I would fish for those compliments.
Yeah, I did like when they were all waiting to see who was going to be visited. Chris was like, hey, don't come to my house. I've got pit bulls.
That would make me come to your house.
But yeah, she seems very hurt. Like, this is the most emotional blocking visit I think we've seen, or even blocking in general that we've seen on the season. She's very upset. And
because she couldn't prepare for it, because yeah. normally it's you get blocked, you have a little bit of time, and then the person comes and visits you.
Yeah, and you're like, you're alone, and you can like sort of process it however you want. But when it's that person right there, and it's the person you just rated number one, so you look like an extra idiot. And so Joey has to be the guy that's like, look, this, I promise you, it had nothing to do with the reveal. She doesn't believe him at first. I have a hard time believing that. But he's really, you know, really trying to make it clear to her. It was nothing personal. He's just in his head thinking about what he needed to do in the game. And it really, like, man, Joey has really had to cut some throats here, because he was the person who basically signed Miranda's, blocking note, and then had to be like, sorry, Miranda, as she came and visited him. And then they kissed. And now he has to go to Sean, who rated him number one, and be like, sorry, I chose to block you here.
But they don't kiss.
They don't kiss, but they do hug. Actually, he kissed her on the cheek as they hugged.
Well, she's got a boyfriend, so. Can't forget about that.
Also, she does the thing that I really is pet peeve of mine, of course, that we've talked about it many times, it did seem like the game was getting really ugly, so I'm just gonna peace out with my dignity intact.
Yeah, I'm the real winner, because I was myself after I wasn't myself.
Yeah
the circle's not breaking up with her, she's blocking the circle. I will say, I was disappointed sort of by Sean's whole storyline, because it felt like it was sort of like we never got to know anything about her except that she's confident in her body. And so she used these fake pictures, but then was like, oh, it's not because I don't love myself. And then she sort of had her like feel good thing. All we know about her is her relationship with her body. And like, it is good to have a diversity of body types on television. Like, representation of fat women is something that we should put on TV, especially in reality TV, where we literally never see it on shows like Big Brother or whatever. But to sort of reduce her to her relationship with her body, I didn't really love. It was just sort of like, I get bullied online, I work in this line of work, and here's who I am, and I love myself. It's like, okay, but I bet there are other things about you that are really fun. Like, when we didn't see any of her personality.
Yeah, I feel like I believe this was filmed before season two of the UK. I think that maybe they learned from this, but I feel like they got it right in season two of the UK, where somebody came in as themselves and was actually very popular, being confident as themselves. And I feel like that would have just been a better thing for her in general if she had come in as herself to begin. Although she wouldn't have been able to make such a big impact in such a short amount of time with the other players if she hadn't had a lie to come out with the truth.
I liked her coming in, and then I have no problem with her catfishing and then not. Like, that's not my issue. It's more just like we didn't get to talk about anything else with her.
Yeah, and that's been my biggest critique of the, you know, second half of the season, essentially, where it feels like they were adding too many people at once and they didn't have enough time for these people. And so people like Bill and Sean and Ed, to a degree, I think, they just haven't had enough time to develop as characters, because, you know, we lost, I think, two people in the second batch of four episodes, and we gained like four people. And it was just like the ratio is off.
Yeah. And I just find that adding people contributes almost nothing to the game. Like, if you have such a good cast, like what we started out with, as somebody who's never seen this before, I would have been perfectly fine with just whittling it down a la Survivor and making them eat each other until we have, you know, three or whatever at the end.
I think generally, like, the first two or three people that you add, that can work because they still have enough time to, like, integrate in. But I think once you pass a certain point, it's just like, why are we, these are just fodder. These are just cannon fodder to be eliminated.
Yeah. And it makes the blockings less interesting because you're not forcing anybody to make big moves.
Yeah. I mean, when I think about like the first four episodes and, or even like the first six episodes, every single blocking, I was like, I don't want any of them to go like this is rough. But then as soon as they added in, like, you know, Sean and Bill and all of them, I was like, okay, that's whatever. Adam can go.
I've been really lucky. The only person that I have been sad about leaving this entire time was Mercedes.
Yeah.
Like, even at the very beginning, my least favorite went home first.
All right. Well, so everybody sees that Sean has been blocked. Ed is not happy about this, which I think is interesting because Ed wanted somebody to take a shot at one of the big guns.
Yeah.
But I think what he doesn't realize is that if it wasn't Sean, it was definitely going to be him. Like,
yeah, well, I think that probably he's happy that it wasn't him. But if it was going to be somebody else, he's disappointed it was Sean.
Yes.
This is the second worst case scenario for him.
Sammy is very surprised. She had just put, you know, Sean at number one. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was surprising to her. But Joey says to us that getting rid of Rebecca would have been acting on emotion, but by keeping her, he thinks he can use the situation to solidify his position in the end. So that's it for the day. They wake up the next day. It's time to update statuses. Ed has a status. He says, time flies like an arrow, but fruit flies like a banana.
What?
That's basically everyone's reaction. I think he's saying something about fruit flies. Fruit flies around bananas.
No, I get that, but like it doesn't bananas. Mean anything.
it's wordplay.
But wordplay has to make sense. You can't just say words that sort of have a relationship with each other.
I don't know what you're expecting from Ed here.
He could just say, like, good morning.
Well,
the directive was you have to make a pun.
I did notice. I saw that even though we only saw his and Joey's statuses, when they put them up on the screen, I saw that some of the other people's statuses that were not read out loud. So we can get a good sense of where people are at here. Shuby wrote, I've worn my heart on my sleeve since day one. I'm proud to have been able to help protect people throughout the game. Love you all.
Yeah, that can just be your status.
Yeah. It felt a little bit, I got a little humble brag there too. Like, hey, I protected people, don't forget.
Yeah, but I think at this point you've got to play for the end game. Got to plant those seeds.
Chris, though, not thinking super strategically, I don't think. Chris's status said, still in the circle of life. # throw dat ass in a circle.
This is another thing where he's just saying words that have a relationship to one another.
Yeah. Rebecca said, feeling blessed this morning. I'm glad I get to have one more day amongst friends.
I like that you put on a Rebecca voice to read that as well. You just can't. You have to just put on the most innocent voice that you can.
Joey wants to come clean and tell everyone that he was, in fact, the super influencer. It really sucks, but he had to make the decision to block Sean, and he feels really bad about it. But that's the way it is. And Rebecca is surprised. Wow, I would have expected Joey to block. He could have blocked me, but he didn't.
Yeah, that is a true fact.
Yeah. They all liked Joey's post.
I am so excited to someday find out Rebecca's real personality and see that she's actually like this loud, just super hilarious person, and have her be mad at Seabird and be like, that's how you see me?
Right? That's how I felt in the second batch of episodes.
Like, and the mildest person in the world.
And the third batch, I'm starting to feel like, I don't know, maybe it is true. Maybe she is just like a super shy, sweet person.
Maybe, or he accidentally leaned into it. Now he can't go back.
Yeah.
It's also, it's an easier character to play.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, that's the thing, too, where catfishes generally come off as very shy because there's less of themselves to open up, right?
Unless you're Adam. In right. which case you come off as disgusting.
What, he didn't arouse you?
Oh, I hate that you said that word to me so much. I hate that word. Oh my god. No, it really made me viscerally uncomfortable to have him. I kept having to pause the episode when I was watching him.
Yeah.
I loved when the narrator though was like, these two are just happy that their flirting didn't get too dirty. I was worried these two were going to have to like really, meaning Seaburn / Rebecca and Adam / Alex. I thought that those two were going to have to like really get dirty.
Oh man.
I was very scared. Anyway, sorry. That was harkening back, but I didn't get to talk about it last time. But yes, it's definitely easier to play a more shy person.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Joey is going to reach out to Rebecca and he wants to talk. He says, I never would have blocked you or Shubi. I want us to be in the end together. Us three. I want to get us on the same page. And Joey says to us, this is not the truth.
Gasp.
Joey's playing the game. I feel lied to because we just did an interview with Joey and I asked him about his strategy and he said, I didn't have a strategy. I was just being myself, just being genuine the whole time. So I was like, all right, I think he's going to be genuine the whole time.
Well, that's
he tricked us.
Having a mid-season interview is going to run that risk with something that's already in the can.
Yes, but Rebecca's eating this up. Rebecca's buying it. She's like, all right, I'm in.
Yeah, I mean, from her perspective, she doesn't really have any reason to believe that Joey's not loyal, right? Yeah. Like, Joey seems like the kind of guy who would play it completely honest. If he can dupe you in an interview with all the information that we have, he can definitely dupe the other players in the circle. And I do feel like for her, it's sort of like, well, what is the downside to Joey doing this right now? Because, like, it guarantees that we're going to bring him as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Sean has left a message for the circle. She's still very emotional. Like, this is clearly done like right out. It must have been like right after.
I like that she says that she's not a frequent crier at one point during this episode. This would be like me saying, oh my god, I never cry.
Yes. And Joey's a little bit concerned that she's maybe gonna say some bad things. And she kind of does. She's like, hey, I think that there are still some secrets out there in the circle. And, you know, I think it takes courage to be truthful. I don't think everybody's doing that.
Dun, dun, dun.
I mean, this is a very direct implication on Joey. I mean,
that,
like,
that he's a catfish or that he's
because,
lying.
Because Joey had already admitted to, you know, seeing her and she's basically saying, I know that there are secrets. The only way she would know that there are secrets is if Joey had a secret.
Yeah, either that he's a catfish or that he told her something that he like he's lying to somebody about his right. loyalty or something like that. Either way, it's bad for Joey.
Yes, definitely. And they're definitely like speculating who could this be about. But I can't imagine that any of them are seriously considering any option. But Joey at this point, because he was the one that blocked her and visited her. And he's going to be the one that she's most angry with and therefore most likely to reveal information about in some way.
And also, you have to rely on precedent and experience here, given yes. what happened with Anthony and Mercedes. I think that they can pretty reliably.
Antonio.
Oh, whatever. Have I been saying Anthony this entire time?
I don't
whatever.
Remember.
Same thing. Or if you're that blonde model that went home the first time, Antonio.
Yes.
Yeah, if you're in the game and the last time somebody threw shade in their video message, you know, besides Bill, who threw shade at everybody, the last time somebody threw specific shade in their video message, it did turn out to be a catfish. I think it's hard not to have all the red flags up at that point.
Yeah. So I'm really, again, I'm feeling lost about like who I think can take this one home. I felt like I had it narrowed down, but I feel like Shuby is less likely to now that they're voting tactically. I think that this could put Joey in some trouble. So I don't know. Maybe Sammy is going to take this one.
Yes.
Who would be your winner pick here?
Sammy is my winner pick, and it's not just because I like her the best. I think for all of the reasons that you've said, I think Sammy and Chris are the biggest threats right now to win because they are the people who have been consistently, you know, 3 and 4. And Sammy's had influencer, I think, twice. Chris has had it once. So they are able to say that they made decisions in this game. But people are not looking at them as like, oh, they're definitely going to win, so I need to sink their rating.
Yeah.
And people genuinely like them. So if anybody is voting emotionally, they are also in that conversation. So Sammy, I think, is my number one pick. Then Chris. Then I think Shuby and Joey are duking it out.
Yeah, I had Sammy, Joey and Shuby as my three that I felt like were going to win. I'd Chris out of it a little bit because there are too many people who are rating him low. Maybe that'll change with the tactical voting. But I feel like Sammy is probably in the lead right now. Then depending on how Joey does this, maybe in second place, then Shuby, then maybe Chris. I feel like Rebecca is just probably out of it at this point.
I think so, too.
There are just too many people who either don't like her or aren't voting tactically enough or whatever. I just feel like or even if they are voting tactically, she's still a threat because she was just recently an influencer. So I feel like it's a no go for Rebecca. I do still feel like something would have to change for Chris to take it for me. But maybe something like having Ed in there, that which totally is possible. That could definitely shake things up in a major way. So I still have no idea. We'll probably have a much better idea after watching the next episode. So we'll keep an eye out for that. But thank you so much, Lita, for joining.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. I love this show so much. This is not like, I don't know. I think Big Brother is something that I watch because I enjoy talking about it with other people, but I don't necessarily always enjoy watching it. I love this show. I'm going to go and watch the UK stuff, and I apologize to all the people that told me a million times to watch it. But I'm bad at finding links to things. If I have to do more than type in one address, like I usually get bored and stop looking for it. But this is so fabulous. And if Sammy wins, she will be my favorite non-Amazing Race reality winner in like a very long time, years.
Well, there you go. Where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Lita Grammed and on Twitter at Lita Tweeted. I am currently private on Twitter, but I accept almost everybody's requests. I will usually look at your bio, but as long as it doesn't say anything horrible, then I'll accept you. So please request me on Twitter. I just don't like my stuff being retweeted all the time.
You will open their circle chats if they...
Yes, if you invite me to a circle chat, if you give it a good name that isn't like Team Pretty or whatever.
Or Skinny Queens.
That's what it is. Then I will accept your follow request. So please follow me. I'm not trying to keep anybody out. I just don't like my stuff circulating to my non-followers.
All right. Well, thank you once again for joining us. You can find me on Twitter at @ArmstrongTaryn. Make sure you check out the next recap that I will be recording after I watch the next episode. So tune in for that. And then, of course, Thursday night, we'll be back for the roundtable where we'll talk about the whole season and the finale and what happens and all of it. It'll be great. So check it all out. Thank you once again for joining us. I'll see you soon.